Division to divide 29.39 acres plus or minus into 33 single-family lots to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County. The property is lying on the north side of Milton Ellendale Highway, which is Route 16, approximately 0.17 mile east of the intersection of Gravel Hill Road, which is Route 30, and Isaacs Road, which is Route 30. The tax parcel ID is District 235, Map 14, parcels 61.00 and 61.06. The zoning district is Agricultural Residential District AR1. Submitted into the record, Madam Chairman, is the applicant's subdivision plan, the staff review, and the applicant's response to the staff review. We have received the TAC, the Technical Advisory Committee review comments, and we have received a copy of a letter from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. I would note that we have received zero responses. Thank you.
Thank you. Someone here representing this application?
Absolutely. Good evening. My name is Steve Fortunato. I'm with Bowler out of Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I'm the civil engineer for this project, and to my left is Stan Aldridge with Insight Land Company, representing the developer. And we are proposing a 33-lot subdivision. This is just west of the town of Milton. It fronts in two locations, Route 16, and it's just east of Route 30. It is currently two parcels that we would propose to consolidate. The entrance frontage parcel, our entrance is proposed as a separate parcel. We would propose to, and I'll let the, I'll slow down a minute to let the picture get up here.
We've been having an IT kind of day, so kind of weak.
That happens.
Yeah, weak, yeah.
It only happens when you need it.
Yeah.
Okay. There it is.
There we go.
Perfect. Yep, okay. So here we propose one entrance on Route 16 that is a separate parcel that would be combined and consolidated with the main farm parcel as part of this project. We will also be subdividing congruently subdividing off these two frontage parcels as part of this project. However, they are not included in this subdivision, so they won't be part of the HOA documents or sharing the road frontages or any of the improvements that are proposed as part of the project. So I just wanted to be clear on that. Like I said, there is one entrance proposed on Route 16 to the south of the project. The project consists essentially of one loop road. All lots are fronting that loop road internally. No proposed lots front Route 16. It is an open drainage system, so we're not doing curbs and storm drain. It is collected via swale, and it drains to one proposed infiltration pond at an existing low area. This project, these lots included in this project are proposed to be well on-site well and septic, so it is at this time not proposed to utilize central water and sewer. It is a cluster subdivision, so the minimum lot size we're utilizing is a half an acre. However, the proposed density remains the same, so we are not increasing our allowed density, which is 1.33 acres or 1.33 lots per acre. We are currently proposing 33 lots as part of the subdivision, where there will be a maximum of 36 lots permitted. We do propose, in compliance with the code, an internal sidewalk along the internal side of the loop road. And in speaking with Sussex Conservation, in speaking with Sussex Engineering, they recommend that you actually do an extension of the pavement, a 5-foot extension of the pavement, as opposed to separating the road from the sidewalk, having the sidewalk like on the other side of the swale. They view it as a safer and easier to maintain, easier to plow. You get the plows taking care of your snow on the sidewalk instead of having a separate sidewalk that probably never gets plowed. So that, you know, we're proposing at their recommendation.
Wait, staff, explain that to me. You're just making the roads large?
Correct. So okay. what we essentially, and this won't zoom. So essentially what we do is we, you know, there's a 22-foot road section. We extend to one side of the center line a 5-foot pavement section to allow for walking. And that is meets the code requirement for a sidewalk. It's not required to be a separate concrete surface. That does provide the sidewalk requirement. And that was actually at the recommendation of SCED. They found it's just easier to maintain. And with the swale configuration, having the swale, you know, 15, 20, sometimes feet away from the road, it doesn't really make a lot of sense in these well and septic situations. The entrance has been designed and has been submitted and is in review with Delvaux. We've had a pre-application meeting with them. There were no major issues, no traffic. This is a relatively low traffic generating project here, so we're proposing one right turn lane. There's no traffic impact study required, no potential drainage issues out front, no negative traffic impacts anticipated, and we are awaiting their first round of comments. We are in compliance with the code and bulk regulations, the comp plan, chapter 115 and chapter 99C. I should mention that we did submit a waiver for, as part of the cluster, you're required to have a walking trail. We did request a waiver for that walking trail, and speaking with the planning office, it was our thought, and we would hope you would agree, that that walking trail requirement really is intended for a central sewer and water cluster subdivision, where you have your 7,500 square foot minimum lots, you have, you know, a very high density of lots in one place, and then you generally end up with a lot of extra open space as a residual area. I think the intent of that walking trail requirement is to put some utilization and a little bit of an active recreation requirement on that open space. When you get into a situation where you're doing a cluster with septic lots, your lot sizes are still big. Half acre lot is not even remotely close to a 7,500 square foot acre lot. So you end up with a relatively much smaller portion of open space, and really the only option to do a walking trail is literally to put a path behind everyone's house. And it was pretty much agreed, both a developer, my engineering standpoint, and from a planning perspective, that you really don't want to direct people walking behind everyone's houses, especially on large lots where it will be dark. It will not have street lighting extending to the back of those lots. So that's the basis of that waiver request, and we would ask the commission approve that as part of this preliminary approval process. We meet other applicable code sections, buffer requirements, a 30-foot buffer from agriculture, 20-foot forested buffer from adjacent residential areas, a 50-foot structure setback from the adjacent agriculture area to the east, and we meet the applicable open space requirements and other setbacks as applicable. This site does not contain wetlands and is not impacted by the flood zone. And again, we are asking the commission for approval of the sidewalk waiver and for a preliminary approval of this plan, after which we would proceed with our remaining technical agency approvals and submit those back into planning for a final.
You're not asking for a sidewalk waiver.
I'm sorry. The walking trail. Yep, walking trail waiver. Yep, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it. All right, see if anybody has any questions on your application. So we'll start with Mr. Hopkins.
How wide do you say the streets are again?
The code is 22 feet for drive, 11 foot lanes, and then we extend 5 feet for the sidewalk requirement.
I don't think I have any questions right now.
Okay. Mr. Mears?
Yeah. The same topic, if you're going to utilize the asphalt paving as sidewalks, is there going to be any lines to designate the walking area, or how would pedestrians differentiate between where they should walk and where cars should drive?
So the code doesn't require that. We have internally talked about that amongst ourselves, whether the code requires it or not. We're debating that because as the developer is, in my opinion, that I think would be a benefit from a safety standpoint. So what exactly that looks like, is it a dashed white line, a dashed yellow solid? We've internally contemplated adding that into the design.
Yeah, I think if the sidewalk waiver is granted, that's just a must to have some type of designation. The lots on the street, I'm still a little in the dark on that. They're separate of the community, and you're just going to sell the lots off, or are you going?
Correct, yes. Okay. So, and I spoke with Lauren about that at our pre-application. We're essentially not combining two processes, but sort of hitting two birds with one stone, in the sense that we're consolidating. This is a separate parcel currently, this parcel of the entrance. these two areas you see on the frontage are part of this overall larger parcel, the 28 or so acre. We are going to, at the same time, consolidate the entrance parcel with, in the subdivision, and separate these two frontage parcels. These will be separately sold as is, not part of this development, not proposed houses. They're not knocking them down and rebuilding them and just trying to get two extra houses. The math actually doesn't work out. They could actually gain density if they included them, but the way the configuration is, that didn't make sense. So that's the intent, is those are kind of separated separately and are not really part of this project.
I thought that's what you meant in your presentation, but just wanted to double check.
Correct.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Swingy?
Just one question. The buffer from the properties that are all along the highway to your proposed development, that's 20 feet there, mm-hmm. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
These are lots. Go ahead, answer your question.
So, so you're 0.17 miles off of 30,
right?
And there's a, isn't there a artesian force main that runs down 30?
There is a planned artesian force main that runs down 30. We've been in contact with them. It's at its early stages. Nothing's under construction yet. So we have spoken to them about that. That happened, to be honest with you, a matter of a few weeks ago. So this application was submitted, I think, back in August. So we are open to conversing with them and have that as an option. However, we would definitely want to have this as an option in case that doesn't work out. There's a lot of planning and re-engineering that would be involved in that financial analysis. So we want to move forward. We would prefer to move forward with this preliminary approval, make that evaluation. If we don't connect, we would move forward with what you see here. If we do connect, that would, that would be a change if we went to sewer.
I just hate to see all these septic systems if there's a force main 150 yards away. Okay.
Are you going to be selling lots or home packages? I'm just curious. My main question is, what's going to happen with the trees on the back of the lot?
With the trees on the back of, you mean existing forested area?
Yeah.
So that'll, if anything that's not on lot, I don't think Insight intends on clearing the open space areas yet. So in any of these off-lot open space areas will remain forested.
You're not going to give forested lots in the back then?
I don't know if you intend on leaving forested area on lots, or if you haven't probably gotten that far yet.
Yeah, we're going to have you come up here and introduce yourself. Thank you.
For the record, Stan Aldridge with Insight Land Company. With these being septic lots, we don't know absolutely how much of the lot we're going to need to satisfy the septic requirements. So at this point, we would show that the lot would be cleared to the rear lot line in order to install the septic and the well that would be required. If we don't have to, we would leave any additional trees that we don't need to take down.
Makes sense. Okay. Yeah. All right.
None for me, thank you.
Thank you.
None for me, either. Thanks.
Staff?
How large are the lots again?
They're a minimum half acre.
Okay, thank you.
So yeah, like these are half acres. These are probably closer to two-thirds.
Right. All right, thank you.
Okay. No? All right, thank you. See if anybody else has any interest in your application. So have a seat and we'll...
Thank you.
Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of application 2021-26 Harper's Glen? Anyone like to speak in opposition to this? Come on up. Gonna need your name.
Okay, good evening, thank you very much. My name is Robin Davis. I'm here with my wife, Michelle Davis. We live at 22999 Milton Elda Highway, Milton, Delaware. Technically, I guess we could say we're not overall against the project. It's just there's areas of concerns that we have, being said we live adjacent to the development. If you look at the map, we live in the lower right corner of the property. That we'll have a, the drive aisle will be next to us, and there will be a house behind us, as proposed. Speaking of the items that I have concerned, overall, we would like this development not to be there. We've lived in our house for over 30 years, lifetime Sussex County residents, like the open area, but we understand that there is going to be development at certain times, but we would just like our concerns addressed if we could.
Right.
Our first area was the proposed entrance location and access. The entrance, as noted, is to be installed on the existing parcel 14.00-61.06, as the applicant has identified. This parcel is directly adjacent to and left of our property and is currently separate from that larger parcel of 61.00. It appears on the revised plans that a right turn lane will be required when entering the subdivision from the east on Route 16. We assume this is a DLDOT requirement, but their comments are not part of the submitted packets to verify this. But I think the applicant had said that they've had their review or partial review by DLDOT. This is a major concern of ours because the proposed turn lane will be in direct conflict with our existing driveway, which is located on the left side of our property and can be seen on the submitted plans. If they go to the site plan, you can see it on there, our driveway. I don't know if anybody can see it.
Yeah, we can see it.
Okay. As proposed, our driveway would be situated in the middle of the turn lane. This design would cause safety issues for everyone entering or exiting our driveway, or for the postal service while sitting in the middle of the drive aisle delivering mail. The plan also shows the requirement for additional paving, approximately 2 or 3 feet in width, to be installed in the right-of-way area in front of our property, to accommodate this turn lane. Accessibility to our property and mailbox for delivery purposes would be disrupted during the preparation and construction phases of the turn lane and would need to be addressed if left as shown on the plan. We request that the commission require an alternative location for the entrance of this subdivision. As you can see on the plans, there are already two areas of the larger parcel which are currently accessible to the back part of the parcel from Route 16. The applicant could use one of these locations to accommodate this turn lane and cause no existing driveway access or mail delivery issues.
Where are you talking about?
The two areas that the applicant said that they're going to take out
either
subdivision.
Site parcel A or B.
They're currently in this subdivision.
The way you said it threw me off. I thought you meant you were trying to get them to come in from the back end.
No.
Okay. Good.
No, they're accessed currently from 16.
Yep.
These areas, one having 176 feet of road frontage, that's noted as off-site parcel A, I think, on the plan, and the other having 202 feet of road frontage, which is off-site parcel B on the plan, would be better suited for the turn lane because the adjacent properties directly to the right of these areas, which is parcel 14.00-61.05 and 6103, have their existing driveways and mailbox installed to the right side of the properties. This would allow for the installation of the turn lane that would be completely outside the property driveway areas and lessen safety and access concerns. Disruption issues during the preparation and construction phases of the would potentially be resolved. Yes, this would require slight changes to the design of the proposed subdivision, could be very possibly done since they're in the early stages of this process and the current plans are noted as for concept purposes only. Second area is the design of the proposed entrance. We would request that the commission would require landscaping and buffering to shield adjacent property owners from vehicles entering and exiting the subdivision during the evening hours. There's no reference to that or plan on submitted at this time. It would also be noted that the existing parcel that they're going to be proposing to use the entrance is the smallest of all. It's only 162 feet wide of frontage. So the two other areas are larger that could be used for the entrance. A question that I would have is, are light poles going to be installed along the access area to the development? There's no reference or plan submitted. If any, we request the commission to require the lights be shielded, downward screened, and directed away from the neighboring properties. I also had a question about the development sign, but I'm assuming that's going to be handled at the staff portion and meet all the code.
I'll throw it out. I mean, ask your questions. This is your chance, man.
That's what concerns me.
This later on, when they say, you know, like, well, can we set? No, the public hearing will be closed. So yeah, give it to us now.
There's no reference to it on the plan. So except for, I think there's two little areas to show where, but there's no design. So that's a concern with what are the development signs going to look like eventually.
So what would you, what are your concerns? That they would have lighting, that they would
be big? That's the biggest thing. To let them be, you know, some sort of, I assume, again, the existing regulations would kind of limit on what needs to be done. So it's not a big major concern. It's just that this is an opportunity to speak
just
and not be able to see it. Yeah. It's a concern.
Right. Well, and that's why you should bring it up now, what you would like to see. We can't say that we can do everything, but we'd like to hear what
it is. It would just be, it would be nice to have some sort of low height development sign. The third thing is the landscaping and buffering along the rear property lines of the existing properties fronting 16. There is a 20-foot wide residential buffer noted on the plans, but there are no additional details submitted. We would ask the commission to require the applicant to install additional evergreen trees above and beyond the forest landscape buffer requirement, and or a 6-foot high opaque fence properly maintained by the developer or the HOA to ensure privacy for the existing property owners abutting the proposed subdivision. I had a question about the public hearing notice, but I did see there was a sign that's been knocked over, but there was one posted on the property.
The winds have been crazy.
Yes. And I think the current owner was using that as to move some of the old debris from the back, and I think a truck has knocked it over.
And we're looking to get bigger signs too.
Yeah. I understand.
Okay.
I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Whitehouse, about the buffer, there is a certain density that we require of vegetation there. Could you help out with that?
So there's a specific number of trees for every 100 feet, and it's a double staggered row of trees, and it's a mixture of evergreen and deciduous species. So the number of trees is 25 for every 100 feet. If memory, I'll just check the exact number, but there's a specific percentage of deciduous and evergreen species, and all of that has to be shown on a landscape plan where it's required under the subdivision code.
So when they bring in a final plan, they would have to show us where the landscaping would go on. So I just wanted you to...
Correct.
Yeah. Understood the requirement. It's just I don't know if that would cover enough for privacy wise.
Gotcha. Okay.
I have a question.
Yep.
Mr. Fortunato, can you address the concerns he has with the DelDOT entrance? Are your proposed plans encroaching on there? That's not legal, is it?
So it actually is, and I've brought that up several times to DelDOT for reasons to give alternate design options for right turn lanes, especially with low traffic options like this subdivision. Mm-hmm. And they say that, and they're right, that happens very frequently. So there are several cases where right turn lane improvements and road improvements impact driveways, and there's a standard DelDOT tie-in where you come in at a 45 degree for 5 feet in or something, and to tie that in. So he is correct in the sense that the existing driveway would fall in the right turn lane for this project, and it's Dell Dots does not view that as a safety concern.
I am really surprised because I completely think that's a safety concern.
Yeah.
When he has, they have people trying to enter and exit, and somebody's turning right to turn into the community. That just.
Where did the decision come from to put it? And maybe you stated this, and it just wasn't as significant when you explained it, since we hadn't heard yet from anybody. Was that a developer-driven decision or a Dell Dot-driven decision to put the entrance there versus the other two outlots?
So I guess it was talked about, and there was no objection on Dell Dot's standpoint for putting it here. I think for obvious reasons, not demolishing the houses and a couple of structures and losing that land value to put an entrance in those other locations. If we had this lot open, we would not be able to propose, I don't think, as part of this, a new lot there with a new entrance on Route 16. That would have to be handled a separate way because Dell Dot won't allow a subdivision to have one parcel get its own access, then everybody else get entrance from another access. So I think just for consolidation and consistency purposes, this location made sense because it was open.
So, but you still could achieve the same kind of layout if you put the access off of parcel A.
We would, I was
still
looking
have
at
one
that.
Line coming in and looping around like it is now. You're just at the other side of the.
I was looking at that. We would probably have a net reduction in lots simply because we're able to fit lots fronting a portion of that access road that comes from the loop.
You have to add this right there through
here.
This driveway. Yeah.
So these several lots you get there are able to be obtained because this entrance is that distance away from your property line. If you line up access here, you really don't have the ability to do that. So this road will come in, it'll come in here, and none of that portion will have any lots on it. So you would lose a deal of efficiency and probably a couple of lots if that was.
Is it a possibility to put the stormwater management up there in the open space?
So this stormwater management is actually utilized as an existing low area that collects drainage from a pretty large area. So what we've done is taken testing, we dig that down to a great infiltrating layer, so we're going to have a lot more water going in the ground and a lot less that ponds up and discharges actually over onto this property. So that is pretty set. And this is the highest side. It pretty much falls away from the road into this area here.
Okay. What would you be doing to keep their dark skies that they were concerned about?
So the lighting plans are typically done with the developer and the lighting provider, who I don't remember if it's DEC or DPNL off the top of my head, but yeah, I don't think addressing the lighting concerns is an issue. That wouldn't be difficult.
So I don't see the rate. How everybody that's going from Milton area to Greenwood area on 16, they've got to be able to get off of 16 in order to make that left right hand turn.
Correct.
Is there right away there? You're going to have to buy land from like the guy that has that lot that just came up here and talked earlier?
We wouldn't have to buy any land. So it does require a little bit. It's like, I don't know, a 2-foot addition of pavement to make the regulatory right turn lane work there. But we would not encroach on in his property.
So
it's all within the existing right of way?
Correct.
Okay.
So you're able to be completely off the road as the cars going to Greenwood go past you?
Correct. Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Now, is that going to impact, like in this case, that driveway, that first, or two or three of them?
His driveway.
So it would impact it, I don't think, in my opinion, any more or less than it would impact any property where you're going to have traffic, you know, this is going to have additional traffic to it, right? Every project does. So, that traffic is going to travel in front of whatever property is adjacent to that, whatever entrance they have. If you've got additional cars traveling to the neighboring property, they're not going to be able to pull out when that car is coming. Whether that car is in a right turn lane, not in a right turn lane, whether that turn lane is at their driveway or not, the car is passing by them and they can't pull out when that car is coming. So that's the kind of analysis and really talk that we have with Dell Dot. They can implement, even though a TIS is not required, they have other like a traffic operational analysis that really looks more at like intersections and functionality of intersections. You could have a project a mile down here that draws 1,000 cars a day. All of those cars are going to drive by all these driveways, and that's going to impact the movement from any of the driveways. I think it's just assumed that that impact is encumbered with any project that has traffic.
Does anybody else have, in opposition, have anything to say? Yes, please, come on up.
And just while they're coming up, to correct my earlier number, for the buffer, the minimum number of trees is 15 trees. So I think I said 20, but per 100 feet.
My name is Teresa Pepper. I'm here on behalf of my mother, Janice Pepper. She owns one of the lots on the west side of this proposed. And I basically have questions. I'd like some more clarification. So basically, he was showing a proposed driveway on the left and why that wouldn't work. Why wouldn't a driveway work on the middle lot? I believe that's all site parcel B. Mm-hmm. And as far as around the perimeter of the subdivision, are there any plans for fencing or anything like that, or is that too early in the process?
There is a requirement that they have a buffer from other properties around them, so that's what the 20-foot buffer is.
But that could be just open land.
It has to be vegetated buffer, so they'd have to put 15 trees per 100?
Per 100 feet, there has to be no less than 15 trees. And that all gets reviewed and checked by staff.
So. Okay, so that basically by having that buffer, you're saying you're not going to have a permanent fence.
Right.
The code doesn't require
it. It doesn't require fence, that.
Right. Okay. But yeah, if I could get just some better understanding of why a driveway couldn't go through that off-site parcel B. And I believe it was said that off-site parcel A and B are proposed to be sold off or just...
Correct.
So I guess, yeah, more a little more clarification of those two lots and why the driveway couldn't go through B. I'm not crazy about off-site parcel A as the driveway because that is directly adjacent to my mother's lot. And being elderly, I'm not wanting more traffic right next to her than needed, but that's just personal. So just more clarification.
Well, I can ask.
Thank you.
You heard the question.
Okay, so I guess two sets of questions. One, in relation to the parcel being on this off-site parcel B, I'm sorry, the entrance being on off-site parcel B, this would, again, with either of these, the situation is similar to where, one, you have, I don't say significant, but you definitely have a demolition cost associated with clearing everything that's in there. They've probably got old, you know, septic tanks, things that you can't put entrances near, but function perfectly fine for residential that you're, you know, just selling as a parcel. So you'd have additional cost of demolishing that. You lose the value where this is no longer a lot, so you can't sell it. And again, if you have an entrance come in, whether it's here or here, you're not able to gain, or you're not able to replace the lots that you would lose in this area anywhere that you would have in either of these. If it came down somewhere in this location, you can see how here you could have those lots in that area. So what would happen is you would lose density, a few lots. You would lose the ability, from the developer's standpoint, to sell off this lot, and you would gain the cost of demolishing everything on that lot. This parcel A, by itself, there's, like I said, there's no way you get no value from that. So using this as the entrance is absolutely the most efficient way from a developing standpoint to...
Why do you think you'd have to take those lots out on the right, the first three? Why wouldn't you just put it at a dead end if you came in through the middle and leave that road just like it is with a dead end? Why wouldn't that still... I mean, I don't want them to lose lots, but...
So maybe you'd lose this lot and...
It would be just one lot.
You would have to have... I'd have to see if you could get... I mean, you probably... You may be able to get a code compliant turnaround in this area because you do have what the, you know, mm-hmm. the fire marshal.
So you wouldn't lose the lots, is my point.
Mm-hmm. You would probably still lose the lot here. You'd lose the ability to sell this lot, and you'd add the cost to demolish that area.
You can sell the other lot at that point.
This, it would be sold as an open lot. So, you know, here you're selling a lot with a fully functioning house driveway. This, you know, the value of this is several times that of an open lot.
How big is that lot with the driveway on it now that you're proposing?
It is...
You mean acres or width?
You can give me acres, that would mean a lot.
0.83 acres.
0.83?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
And in terms of, so there's been a couple landscaping, I just talked to Stan, and the forested buffer is the mix of deciduous and evergreen trees. The developer would have no problem in these, you know, maybe where we're adjacent to existing residential areas, doing all evergreens and have a double layer of the evergreens. That will definitely, you will not, you know, take a couple years to grow, but you surely would not see through those. Additionally, I mean, with the big lots, you've got houses that are going to be, you know, 100 feet so away from the property line. So it's not like you're having a full cluster building up to them.
But you could actually make that lot, that the lot that you're coming into now, a lot in this subdivision. It'd be odd, but... Just do a cul-de-sac there, you said you had 0.8 acres.
It does, I'd have to look if it has the frontage. I think you need a 100-foot road frontage, so I'm not sure if that's 100 feet there or not. And how that would come into it, to a dead end, or if that's a cul-de-sac.
It would have frontage off of Route 16, it'd be its own standalone strip lot like the others.
Well, I don't, so that would then be a separate conversation with Del Dot. Well, they will not allow a lot as part of this subdivision to front 16 and the rest of it front an internal roadway. So that would be a little...
But I thought you said the one that's parcel A, that's not part of the subdivision. It's going to have its own access off Route 16.
Correct, that it currently does. So we're just not touching it. So it's just blocked off as a separate, just like you could do as a minor subdivision plan and separate those two frontage lots. That, you know, doesn't require any level of what we're doing now. We're just doing that at the same time as the subdivision.
Trying to find a way that they could put the entrance through the middle there.
Absolutely, you guys can make them put it through, you might lose that lot, you know? I mean, the commission has the ability to condition it if they want to. That's why I asked whether that was a Del Dot requirement or not. It may be that that's just residual lands and you got a little bit more open space, you know, if you can't get an entrance on it.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, anybody else?
Hey, Kim.
Yeah, thank you.
I have a comment, Ms. Stevenson. Could I add something?
Yeah, go ahead.
So just to comment on the surrounding land use, our office does have an active site plan across the street, and I didn't know if that is as relevant or not, but the Jerry M. McLaren Medical Pavilion has not received final, and that is directly across the roadway. So I don't, that's just for the commission to consider.
Okay, thank you. All right, is there anyone on the phone? I was about to say online. For or against, please, thank you.
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Okay, last chance. Anybody have any other comments?
Thank you.
Okay, then I'm going to close the public hearing. And as Mr. Wheatley says, you're invited to stay for the end of the evening and see if we make a decision. But most likely we won't. Thank you very much.
Call the office in the morning.
Call the office in the morning, there you go, thank you, yeah.